Friday night, the Alaskan Way Viaduct closes for whatever remains of human history. And historian Felix Bunnell is here with the story of another big but completely forgotten shift in traffic patterns. 97 years ago this month, drivers in Vancouver, B.C. switched from driving on the left side of the road to driving on the right side of the road. Felix is brought to us by the King County Library System.
Yeah, nice to have a little BTO to start things off in the morning here, taking care of business, I like to say. For the first two decades of the 20th century, all of British Columbia drove on the left-hand side of the road, just like people still do in the UK. And we'll get to the reasons and the history behind the switchover in a moment. But first, let's go back 97 years to January 1st, 1922. At 6 a.m. on that New Year's Sunday, all vehicles, cars, trucks, streetcars, horse-drawn wagons, and there were still some of those around, had to start driving on the right-hand side of the road, just like we do here in the U.S. Now, this is a little complicated. That big change in January 1922 was for Metropolitan Vancouver, all of Vancouver Island. About 17 months earlier, in July 1920, the switch had taken place for the other more rural parts of British Columbia, or what they call the interior. Let's pause and think about this for a moment, about what this meant for some drivers. To help, I want to quote from a handy black-and-white map that was published by the BC provincial government in 1920, at the time of the rural switchover. So this is a quote here. On entering British Columbia from the United States at Sumas Mountain, Washington, and all points of entry west thereof, now these areas are shaded in black on the map, keep to the left. On entering at all other points, these are in white, keep to the right. So for nearly 17 months, there were two sets of rules in British Columbia, depending on whether you lived in Metro Vancouver or rural BC. That must have been fun for those brave souls whose travel or work required them to drive in both areas on the same trip.
Yeah.
Or maybe even on the same day. And think if you were an American going up to BC for a vacation, if you went that Sumas, it must have been really fun to cross over from the U.S. and know that if you turned right, you stayed to the right. But if you turned left, you stayed to the left. That must have been just, I mean, makes Viaduct pale by comparison. It's unclear exactly why British Columbia first decided to drive on the left side. Easy answer is that Canada was originally a British colony and the ties were still very deep in the 1890s when the province was really starting to grow and when the rule was likely first established. And it makes sense because some eastern provinces of Canada also chose the left side initially too. And, you know, it was a very different era. Car was introduced in BC in 1904. First mention I could find of a desire to switch to the right side that I could find was 1912. And like here in Seattle, the debate continued for several years, with automobile dealers favored a switch, since most cars in Canada were made in the U.S. and had the left-mounted steering wheels, which, if you think about it, gives you a much better view of the road as you're coming down the highway to be able to near the oncoming traffic, as counterintuitive as it kind of seems. Tourism officials in B.C. also favored a switch because they wanted to be more welcoming to those lucrative visitors from the U.S. You know, nothing's changed, right?
Right.
One of the groups who objected to the switch, who I think at least wanted a delay, was a company called the British Columbia Electric Railway, or BCER. This was a private concern that ran the electric streetcars in Vancouver and Victoria. For them to make the switch required investment in infrastructure. I saw one estimate of like $325,000 Canadian, or about $4 million in today's dollars. Their changes required stuff like switching equipment and then actually getting new streetcars or retrofitting the old ones. So the passenger doors were on the correct side to allow people to enter and exit next to the sidewalk, you know, not out in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Either way, it was decided during World War I to go ahead with a switch, but to wait until the war was over. And the legislation passed, and they came up with this two-part plan. And I'm 95% sure that that 17-month delay for Victoria and Vancouver was because of the streetcar company. Couldn't find any proof of that. But as far as I can tell from the newspaper accounts, the rural switch in July 1920 was uneventful. Truth be told, there were very few roads in rural BC.
Well, yeah, and how fast did cars go in 1922?
Yeah,
anyway?
Under 30 for certainly. Yeah. And most of the roads in BC, even in the urban ones, weren't painted. There wasn't a stripe down the middle of the road. So there's no reports of accidents or anything. So let's go back to where we started in January 1922 when the switch was made in Metro Vancouver. Now, that change took place early on New Year's Day. It was a Sunday, as I mentioned, and then Monday was a holiday too. So drivers and pedestrians and streetcar passengers, because it didn't just affect vehicles, had a few non-business days to adjust. And so, you know, what's the big headline? What happened on that Tuesday and Wednesday and the rest of the week? Well, you know, not much. As far as I can tell from the newspaper accounts, no serious incidents reported among cars and trucks. However, there is well-documented accounts of a woman calling police because she saw streetcars going what she thought was backwards at full speed. And there were labor troubles at this time, and she thought it was, quote, devilment related to a strike that had been looming for streetcar drivers. She thought they were pranking everybody by driving up and down the tracks the wrong direction.
I see.
I did find what may have been the only casualty of the switch, and this was someone named Old Dobbin. Wednesday, January 4th in Vancouver, Dobbin was pulling a milk wagon, as he had for 15 years. The milkman took a delivery up to the porch of her residence. Dobbin did what he always did, automatically moved on slowly to the next house, but He also automatically moved over to the left side of the road, and he got hit by a truck, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Old Dobbin's leg was broken. A newspaper said friends of the old horse wanted him sent to a grassy farm on Lulu Island, which doesn't even exist anymore. It's now where Richmond and Steveston, B.C. is. It's not clear if old Dobbin was put out to pasture, but based on what the vet who treated him said, I think old Dobbin did okay, and this is what this vet said. He said, some horses have as much brains as men. The old nag did what his conscience dictated. So I hope we can all have the same empathy for our fellow commuters during Viadum, that the old nag do what our consciences dictate.
Yeah. I think a lot of us will be commuting via horse.
Yeah, it's a lot more comfortable,
for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Felix.